So let's get into Rock. Last time we talked about card 3, Catalyst of Mind. This is page 26 on the Tarot and Archetypal Mind PDF. That's the page that starts Catalyst of Mind. And briefly, you know, to reiterate, we see a woman sitting on a cube. The cube is sort of a dark light blend with what appears to be five eyes in there, which I indicated may indicate the five consciousness worked upon chakras, being 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first and the seventh are not worked upon consciously by change in mind. They may be changed. They're changed by the etheric change or transformation of the etheric body. Does indeed change conditions associated with root and crown chakras, but the conscious working of our body-mind-spirit complex, our conscious working is really centered in the chakras 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So the card is called the Empress in later times. The original version has a sun around her head, a crown on the head. Her feet are suspended a little bit over a lunar crescent. She's based in the receptive. Looks like a bird in the left hand and a sphere in the right hand. And this is about catalyst used by mind or used by the conscious mind. Ross says it represents the unconscious or female portion of the mind complex being first used or ennobled by the male or conscious portion of the mind. So this shows the association of the unconscious or deep mind, which is the potentiator, with female. And we're talking about a first usage, which is ennobling. The self is ennobled by its potentiation by the deep mind. This morning I woke up after some dreams and thought about them smoothly, meaning I remembered, you know, well enough some of the sequence and images and feeling and meaning. And felt, dreaming is potentiation of mind. Remembering your dreams is potentiation of mind. Dreams are also healing in that, you know, a true psychological product dream represents some kind of unraveling of lower chakra blockage, often. So dreaming is potentiation of mind. Remembering your dreams is potentiation of mind. Considering the meaning of dreams is mind potentiation. And that mind potentiation in dreaming and thinking and considering is healing. That's nice. So, going on, this card is about the nature of catalyst and the nature of mind using catalyst. And so Ra goes further on page 27. This is still introduction. Polarity. You will find polarity expressed by the many opportunities in the material illusion, which is imaged by the not white and not dark square upon which the entity of the image is seated. So polarity is really the way we meet experience or we meet catalyst. The way we process catalyst leads to experience. That processing of catalyst, or how we handle our life, you know, the things that come up in us, the things that come at us, the conditions of life, which are, you know, maybe limitation, or maybe happy, confusing or clear, the way we meet that incoming situation or incoming material in the mind and in the social arena with friends, relations, situations and places. All that is the handling of catalyst, which leads to polarity or polarization. Polarization in this case means a clarification of our spiritual path. You know, what's your path, man? Are you going in the way of love and truth, or are you going in the way of control and separation? And so Ross says, well, you know, that facing of catalyst is why the figure, the woman in this card, glances, doesn't sit straight on the card or face us, but Ross says glances off to one side or another. And so she's looking to her left, and Ross says that that's a suggestion that the offering of the illusion, meaning catalyst is an illusion. You think you have thoughts and feelings and sensations, and you think, we think, we have thoughts and feelings and sensations that are real. And we think we have real limiting experience. But actually, it's an illusion. Why? Because it's impermanent and empty. Anicca, anatta, dukkha. And so, that's the Buddhist triad of impermanence, no self, and dissatisfactoriness. That's the nature of 3D mind meeting catalyst. It's the nature of light. Light itself is impermanent. It's not satisfactory in the sense that it's impermanent. And it's empty of eternal substantial self-nature. It's always flickering, dancing thoughts. The dance only ends after the octave. Then there's no more flickering and no more anicca, anatta, dukkha. And so, what Ross says, you'll note the offering of the, you'll note the suggestion by her sitting facing left, that the offering of the illusion seems to imply or seems to suggest the opportunities lying upon the left-hand path, the self, the service to self path. And so, you know, again, as I said in the last discussion of it, it's understood and it's normal that when catalyst comes up, comes at us, the first thought is me. What can I do to make me happy? Or to get what I want, or to get rid of what I don't want, you know, what can I do for me? So that is a implicit suggestion of the left-hand path. That's why it's easy to start on the left-hand path, but it's actually harder to continue. And it's harder to start on the right-hand path, but it's easier to continue. That's an insight. Because the left-hand path is the natural way of, you know, veiled consciousness. Veiled consciousness says, I'm a body, and I'm a personal personality, and what's good for me? Again and again. That's the easy entry to the left-hand path. However, the left-hand path requires, you know, increasingly blocked, and efforts towards increasing blockage of heart chakra, meaning I don't care, you know, about anybody, only me, not even the ones that help me, you know, they're all nothing for me, and you know, you gotta eat everybody, eat and kill everybody. So, and then, you know, that's the path. So that's why 10% drop out in 4D negative. Ma said 10% of the 10%. 10% of the 3D positive, 3D souls going into 4D negative, 10% of the souls in 3D go to 4D negative, 90% when they're ready go to 4D positive, but of the 10% that go to 4D negative, 10% of that or some other or more drop out and they have to come back to 3D. They do what's called a drop down turnaround and get traumatized sufficiently in 3D to begin on the positive path. But it's easy to get onto the left-hand path. It's very difficult to continue on it. It's a little harder to get onto the right-hand path because at some point you have to choose other instead of me. You have to sacrifice the cherished. You have to surrender the cherished. And that's not easy. However, as one continues on the positive path, it gets better and better. once the blockages are released. The major, you know, major blockages. Don is asking about the platform and the lunar crescent being the potential to go to left or right-hand path, which really means, again, we can use our catalyst to go on the path of love. We can go using our catalyst onto the path of separation. Ra does say on the bottom of 27 that it is a winged creature, not a lamp, and says that the significance of this is that, you know, by the potentiated mind's use of catalyst, we begin this, what the Ra says, the flight towards that great logos, which is sought by the adept. And so the bird, in all cases, is a symbol of human ascension and divine communication. So it's the stairway to heaven, or it's the messenger of heaven and the human ascending to realize our true nature, which is omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, you know, Satchitananda. So the bird is the symbol of our ascension and the symbol of the provision of grace and love light from above. And so Ra also indicates that the nature of catalyst is overwhelmingly of an unconsciousness, and that's related to the fact that it's a lunar moon crescent. The moon doesn't shine of its own light. The moon is by nature dark, not bad, but not self-illuminating. The potentiator of mind, the unconscious, is by its own nature hidden, veiled, right? It's veiled. It's not shining, saying, here I am. It's the depths of the ocean, you know, it's a mysterium. And so it's the conscious seeking that actually is self-potentiating by going into its own depths. And interestingly, Ra says, the nature of catalyst is overwhelmingly of an unconsciousness coming from that which is not of the conscious mind and which has no connection with the intellect. That's a very important phrase. As you call it, meaning intellect, which precedes or is concomitant with catalytic action. So the unconscious nature of catalyst, the nature of catalyst being unconsciousness, has no connection with the intellect. So those who are intellect only, busy, busy mind, have a hard time self-potentiating. You gotta feel to make it real, baby. Meaning, you gotta slow down. You have to slow down and feel. Because thinking simply by logic or analysis or you know, constructed thought doesn't resonate with the unconscious. It may help analyze, for sure, but it doesn't resonate with the nature of the potentiator or the deep mind. And catalyst itself being the first use of the potentiated mind, right? Catalyst is not the potentiator, but catalyst is used by the potentiated mind. It's a little subtle. Ra says again, it's the unconscious or female portion of the mind being first used by the conscious part of the mind. So the difference between the potentiator of mind and the catalyst of mind is that the potentiator is the nature of the deep mind and its resources. The catalyst of mind is the product of the usage of the potentiator of mind. And so we catalyze ourselves by seeking within, right? And so it's a little bit different than simply the potentiator itself. Now, this non-connection with the intellect of Catalyst is that to really absorb or to really make use of Catalyst, we can't rely only on intellect. Surely, to self-potentiate our conscious mind, we need to feel. We need intuition. We need subtle sensing. We need to take it slow. And this is the deficiency of, you know, the Gemini Libra types, which is they're so high-flying that they don't want to get wet. But you got to get wet, or you really have to feel and get down on the ground to hear the deeper voice, and then to use the life experience in a positive or polarized way. So this disconnect between intellect and Catalyst is very important. We need the intellect to process Catalyst, but the nature of Catalyst itself is non-intellectual. That's the distinction. So Ross says, all uses of Catalyst by the mind are those consciously applied to Catalyst. This is top page 28. That's the distinction. We use Catalyst by the mind, including the intellect, for sure. But that is a conscious application to the Catalyst itself. The Catalyst itself is of an unconscious nature. So Ross says, without conscious intent, the use of Catalyst is never processed through mediation, ideation, and imagination. Mediation may be meditation, actually. But it's conscious intending that allows us to use life experience as a, you know, synonym for Catalyst, to use our life experience well, to process the Catalyst that comes up and comes in. We need to want it. We need to want to know what's happening here. Why am I limited? Why am I confused? Why do I feel this way? Why are these things bothering me? And the processing of Catalyst is very much supported by meditation, ideation, which is thought, and imagination, which is subtle feeling sensing. And Ra goes on, all that assaults your senses is Catalyst. All that assaults your senses is Catalyst. So it's kind of assaulting. We, in speaking to this support group through this instrument, offer Catalyst. Right? The configurations of each in the group of body offer Catalyst through comfort, discomfort. Meaning, right now, you're sitting listening to me. You're comfortable or you're not comfortable. That's a Catalyst offered by body configuration. Ra goes on, in fact, all that is unprocessed that has come before the notice of a mind-body-spirit complex is Catalyst. So unprocessed noticing, unprocessed phenomena coming to our notice. It's not processed, it's of an unconscious or hidden nature. It's female, meaning... we don't know. We don't understand what's this stuff coming at me. Why are you saying that? Why am I living here? Why am I feeling this way? What is this feeling? Why is this body condition? That's kind of hidden. Then we need the conscious intention to seek to know and make peace. And that's the intention to use the potentiator, use the deep mind to make sense of what's coming at me. Now we're going to get into the new material, page 28. First, it's a discussion of symbology. This is from session 93, question 18, middle page 28. Don is asking, the third card shows a wand, I assume the right hand. The ball atop the wand is the round magical shape. Yes. The ball is the sphere. The sphere is a round magical shape, indicating power and rulership of the self, you know, of creation for the adept. It has nothing to do with a king and a queen on Earth, but they took it, of course. Don's asking, am I in any way correct in guessing that the catalyst of the mind suggests the possible eventual use of magic, depicted by the wand? Ra knocks him down. The wand is astrological in its origin, and as an image may be released from its stricture. The sphere, however, the sphere of spiritual power is an indication that, indeed, each opportunity is pregnant with the most extravagant magical opportunities or possibilities for the far-seeing adept. This is a very important phrase. It could only come in session 93 or late in the series. The sphere of spiritual power is an indication that, indeed, each opportunity is pregnant with the most extravagant magical possibilities for the far-seeing adept. Very nice phrase. The far-seeing adept is the advanced adept. There's the advanced adept and the not advanced adept. And hi, Corinne, you need to mute, please. So this is if you reflect on this, you'll know what that means. Each opportunity is pregnant with the most extravagant magical possibilities for the far-seeing adept. There was a time in my junior years when I would sit in a cafe and transmit love light as a beam to everybody, to across from my seated cafe chair to the building across the road, and everybody who came through it would get my love light. So that's one extravagant magical working, perhaps not too extravagant really, but one can imagine things like that, and there's much more. Don goes on, the fact that the clothing of the entity is transparent indicates the semi-permeability of the veil for the catalytic process, which is a sort of confused question, but it's a good way of going. Is it correct? Don Ra basically then is talking about the pain flares that Carla was going through. And then Don reiterates the question, wondering if the transparency of the garments showing the semi-permeable nature of the veil between conscious and unconscious mind, which is very reasonable. Ra says, this is a thoughtful perception and cannot be said to be incorrect, but it cannot be said to be totally correct. However, the intended suggestion in general is an echo of our earlier suggestion that the nature of catalyst is that of the unconscious, veiled. That is, outward catalyst comes through the veil. And so making peace with catalyst, or efficiently using catalyst, is a sign of making good use of the potentiator. You can't make use of catalyst without making use of the potentiator. The conscious mind unpotentiated, the non-potentiated conscious mind, can't deeply make use of catalyst. Cannot deeply understand catalyst. So self-potentiation, fertilizing yourself, impregnating your mind, right? Self-fertilization of the conscious mind by spiritual openness, being open to my feeling, to my intuition, to my imagination, my ideation, and my contemplation, my being. Being open to that being, self-potentiation of conscious mind, allows us then to make use of catalyst. Ra goes on, all that you perceive seems to be consciously perceived. Uh-oh, now we're getting heavy. All that you perceive seems to be consciously perceived. This is not the correct supposition. All that you perceive is perceived as catalyst unconsciously. By the, shall we say, time that the mind begins its appreciation of catalyst, that catalyst has been filtered through the veil, and in some cases, much is veiled in the most apparently clear perception. Wow. Okay, now we're getting into perception v. reality, meaning the life I live is the life that appears, that I'm perceiving, that I understand by my interpretations of my perception of its appearance. The appearance is also veiled, meaning what we see is not all of what is. The interpretation is limited of what it is, you know, so the appearance is limited from its reality. It's a filter, you know, total creation. Its bright power reality is veiled or is shrouded, and all that appears is much less than all that is. Then our perceptions of it are confused, limited, spotty, unclear, variable, partial. And then our interpretations of our perceptions of the appearance of the reality are even less stable. So we have faulty interpretation with partial perception, with veiled appearance of total reality. So no wonder Ra said, understanding is not of your density. No wonder. No wonder everybody's so confused here. We have confused interpretation of limited appearance with limited perception. So absolute reality appears in a very limited form. Our perception of it is very limited and partial and unreliable. And our interpretation of it is very limited and partial and unreliable. No doubt we're a confused bunch down here on the ground. Understanding is not of your density. This really is the veil. We really are veiled here. By the time that the mind begins its appreciation of catalyst, meaning that which comes in up in us and comes to us, at us, to us, the catalyst has been filtered through the veil already. And in some cases, much is veiled in the most apparently clear perception of the catalyst, which is veiled. So, you know, no doubt, right? That's kind of interesting. So our perception seems to be our clear perceiving, but it's actually the product of multiple filters and multiple misinterpretation. Ross says again, all that you perceive as catalyst unconsciously. Now that's actually interesting. By the time, the catalyst in and of itself is only what we're perceiving it to be. It's actually much more than that. We are perceiving unconsciously and consciously. And so this, now we're getting very, very subtle, because the deep mind perceives unconsciously. The conscious mind perceives consciously. It doesn't matter that somebody doesn't understand what you're saying consciously, because unconsciously, their potentiator or deep mind got it. So therefore, I'm very happy when people sleep in my lectures, because if they don't snore, I know they're getting it, and they're very peaceful. They don't make any dumb questions. They just basically sleep. And I know they're getting it, and I'm happy that they're comfortable enough to sleep with me in their chair. So when you speak to somebody, they get it, but they don't know they get it. The degree to which they consciously get it is the degree to which the conscious mind has been potentiated by the deep mind. And the degree to which the conscious mind is already being potentiated or has been potentiated by the deep mind depends on your poise, your inward focus, your degree of receptivity, your softness, the degree to which you listen and want to know and want to feel and want to see, not control, right? So a catalyst comes to us, Ra says, through the veil. Now, what veil is that? I thought the veil was in mind. Well, the veil is in the mind. And yet, catalyst, our experience of catalyst, now we're mixing metaphors because in the fourth card is the experience of mind. So that means experience comes after catalyst. True, in the way that our usage of catalyst is what creates our experience, you know? But in this case, I'll say, the experiencing of catalyst is the result already, or the product already, of veiled perception. Veiled perception is our means of perceiving veiled, veiled and filtered and limited catalyst. So the catalyst that comes already is simply the appearance only, or the shroud of its essence. It's the form, not the substance, of total reality. It's just a temporary, limited, partial appearance. And then our perception of it is limited by the degree to which we are a far-seeing adept, or not. So only the far-seeing adept is a clear-seeing adept who sees a catalyst well, because the gates, the doors of perception have been cleansed, said Aldous Huxley. When the doors of perception are cleansed, man will see, we will see reality as it is, infinite. Absolutely. Then that's the big threat of psychoactive substances among the powers that were, or the powers that are, and the powers that temporarily be. The threat is that by psychoactives, people will begin to see through the social matrix veil. I remember once upon a time, I enjoyed a mushroom shake, and after my mushroom shake, I did the Gumby dance in my room. The Gumby dance is the famous dance pioneered by Gumby. And he was made of green clay, so he would just kind of go, you know, something like that. He was undulating Gumby dance. And I was very happy doing it, but I knew that if I walked into the street doing the Gumby dance, I'd be in big trouble. So I learned from that day forward, don't do your Gumby dance in public. You must do it in private. So the danger is that, you know, this world doesn't want higher perception. They don't want the doors of perception cleansed. They're scared. You know? The powers that be are simply, the most ambitious of the masses. Nothing more, really. The most ambitious of the sleepers woke up and realized, hey, there are a lot of people sleeping in this room. I can get a lot of stuff for them if I hypnotize them. I make them the walking dead, or the walking sleeping. If I can keep them hypnotized and make them do what I want while they're still sleeping, I can be the lord of the sleepers. So they don't want too much waking up. They don't want too much clear perception. And so back to the discussion of catalysts, we have to understand that what comes to us is much less than what is, and our perception is much less than even that, and our interpretations are faulty. Nevertheless, we can use what we get, whatever it is, and be clear about what's important on our path. I'm going to shoot through the bottom of the end of this page, 29, because we can finish this session now. So Don asks about he's saying I've drawn a small diagram in which I simply show an arrow, which represents a catalyst penetrating a line at right angles to the arrow. So he's got a line and an arrow. It's coming in perpendicular, which is the veil. The line is the veil, depositing in one of two repositories, which I would call the right-hand path and the left-hand path. I've labeled those two repositories the experience, meaning the arrow of catalyst coming in through the barrier of the veil into us, then ends up in one of two boxes. One is called right-hand, one the other one's called left-hand path. He's asking, is this a rough analogy of the way catalyst is filtered through the veil to become experience? And Ra answers, again, you're partially correct, and this is the main point. The deeper biases of a mind-body-spirit complex pilot the catalyst around the many aisles of positivity and negativity, as expressed in the archipelago of the deeper mind, the archipelago. I'm not sure how you say that one. It's archipelago or archipelago of the deeper mind. It's a very nice phrase. The archipelago of the deeper mind. Yow. However, the analogy is incorrect in that it does not take into account the further polarization, which is most certainly available to the conscious mind after it's perceived the partially polarized catalyst from the deeper mind. Yow. Now, what does it mean? Well, how do we live, or how do we make use of our catalyst? Well, Ra is saying it's not catalyst that makes polarity, but the deeper biases of ourselves, meaning, you know, love or control. What's your deeper bias? Love and truth and happiness together, or control, domination, and standing on everyone else? What's the deeper bias? Those deeper biases pilot the catalyst. They pilot this catalyst for what comes up in us and what comes at us, pilots it, metaphorically, around the many aisles of positivity and negativity in the mind. We too have aisles of positivity, aisles of polarity. The aisles of polarity. The aisles of polarity in the archipelago of the deep mind. And so we have tendencies that are of love and truth and balance, and those which are of service to self and negativity. How the catalyst is used depends on the deeper biases, and then consciously used too. And Ross says the other part that he didn't understand is that it doesn't take into account the further polarization, right? There's further polarization. Catalyst doesn't, you know, a catalyst does not a polarity make. It's the biases which orient the use of the catalyst initially. Then there's further polarization available to the conscious mind, right? So it's conscious mind that's polarizing. The deep mind is, you know, sitting pretty. It's the conscious mind that ain't doing too well. The conscious mind further polarizes itself after perceiving partially polarized catalyst from the deeper mind. So we're talking about a kind of a feedback loop and a multiple systems relation here. Catalyst comes up in the mind, or in the sense, in the body, in the mind, by sensation, by ideation, imagination, memory, emotion. Catalyst comes at us from the environment in terms of people, places, and things. The deeper biases of our mind influence the way we initially receive it. Then, based on the degree of conscious mind potentiation, we do something next, you know, like we consider how I should reply to that person. What should I do in this situation? How can I handle being in this place? What should I do with the feelings in my body? What should I do with the thoughts in the mind? What should I do with the memory? What do I want? All of that represents further polarization of the conscious mind by using, you know, the partially polarized catalyst from the deeper mind. It comes by the initial contacting or handling of the catalyst by the deeper biases of the mind. So it's a, you know, it's a multiple nodal feedback system of catalyst coming in, catalyst coming up, conscious mind seeking, deeper biases influencing, creating an initial experience, which itself then becomes a further catalyst to further experience, to further polarization. Don doesn't go into that. It goes back into the questions about symbology and asks, I think I should put a crux ansata looped, it's a looped cross. Ansata, I think, means looped, L-O-O-P-D. The ankh. I should put a crux ansata in the place of this thing that looks like a crux ansata in front of the female. Is it correct? Yes. Which is nice. She, too, like the potentiator of mind, wears the ankh between third and fourth chakra, the second, third, fourth chakra. The horizontal, the vertical going from second chakra up through the diaphragm, crossing perpendicularly at the diaphragm, coming up at a 90-degree angle and ending in the loop around the heart, which is an eye, too. The heart, the eye of the heart. And then he goes on, then as to the thing she wears on her head, I believe it's confusing. What is it? And Ra goes into his initiator style, says, we shall allow the student to ponder this point. We note that although it is an astrologically based addition to the concept complex, meaning the archetype card, the thing on her head, it's not entirely unacceptable when viewed with a certain feeling. Huh. Viewing with a certain feeling. How do you view your life? With a certain feeling? What is the feeling with which you view? Very interesting. The video I sent before, the it's called Get Healing, Get Service. It's about viewing life with a certain feeling. Ra goes on, therefore we suggest, O student, that you choose whether to remove the crown or to name its meaning in such a way as to enhance the concept complex. So they're not really speaking double talk here. They're really just saying, if you don't want to consider it because it's astrological, fine. Otherwise, you can consider the meaning of the crown on the head, which is, what is it? Sovereignty, lordship, royalty, dominion, having dominion. You know, there are a lot of meanings to the crown as a symbol. The crown atop catalyst is also the sanctification of catalyst. Catalyst is protected. Catalyst is self-sanctified. You know, and when we have the heart of gratitude and appreciation, you know, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this catalyst. Once upon a time, I experienced deep, deep dread and terror and panic and fear. And I was centered enough to get myself on the bed and lie down and put my hand over my heart and my solar plexus and my belly and say thank you for this. Thank you for this extremely painful experience of my own pre-existing deep fear and panic and terror. Thank you for life experience bringing me the catalyst, the trigger to let it come up. It's my panic and dread, not yours. I did it to me, not you. It's mine. So I was thankful to be able to feel it because I knew that's an opportunity to bring love and acceptance into this most uncomfortable, painful, emotional sensation in mind and body. So that itself is a sanctification of appreciation of catalyst, or sanctifying appreciation of catalyst. And that, you know, I can't keep that attitude all the time, that's the way to quickly process catalyst in the moment, in the heat of the moment, to move towards gratitude and appreciation for this opportunity to feel your own distortion. I had the opportunity to feel my own distortion very keenly, and I had presence of mind enough to feel happy in my terror and dread and panic. My terror and dread, fear, sensorium, and mind condition, I had enough training to feel how wonderful it is that I could get this terrible thing, because I can now feel acceptance and gratitude and take responsibility that, yeah, I still have this distortion. I still have a sense of self enough to feel fear of losing something. So I was able to move into gratitude in the middle of a panic, not a panic attack, but a panic or dread, fear, doom, mind-body condition. And that is, you know, sanctifying of or ennobling of the conscious mind, you know? Anyway, final question, page 29, Don asks, in card 3, we will remove all the letters and the stars. And so, you know, the cards, the images we have on the PDF are the product of the LNL group removing extraneous astrological symbolism from the Egyptian deck, or from some other deck. Don's saying, we're going to remove the stars and the letters, and I assume the little cups around the outside of the rays representing the sun should also be removed. Yes. Is it correct? It's correct. So the cups and the stars and the letters and the wand, even, and even the crown and the moon, they're all astrological images later added to the original image of the card, in every card, actually. But the sun around her head is a whole lot nicer than cups. The sun, you can just see, you know? If humans can do it the wrong way, they surely will. And so, Earth humans, that is. Sorry to insult my other 3D brethren. But the sun, the beautiful solar sphere, or really a circle, the solar in the 2D art, it's the solar, the sun behind her head, surely is more lovely than a circle of cups. And you can see how much was lost, you know. A circle of cups is a lot less powerful than the solar disk radiating behind her as it is now. Right? So, astrology thereby being, you know, limiting, distorting, diminution of the original teaching for all the astrologers. I mean, frankly, I have some, Rick and my friends are astrologers, but, you know, as Nityananda said about a woman who came to her with a bad configuration of Saturn, old Nityananda said, Saturn is here, but God is also here. And, you know, that's a beautiful phrase. Saturn is here, but God is also here. So, astrology is overarched by the logoic solar radiance. All astrology is, secondary to the logoic solar radiance. All right. So, we finished card 3, the catalyst of mind. Next time we'll go to card 4, experience of mind, and we'll see another figure sitting atop a box with a sphere and wearing a nice Egyptian costume. And that is the emperor card, the experience of mind that is the result of the potentiated mind using catalyst and repotentiating or refertilizing its own experience of catalyst as further catalyst. And that will be an understanding of the experience of mind. So, okay, well, let's end for today, and everything's on for next week. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you and speak, and I wish you a good night and evening, and see you soon. Good night.